tweet at TodaySOR.
A lot of reaction to Rolf, my previous guest, Rolf Dobelli, and his book, Stop Reading the News. He's been off the media for 10 years, yet here he is with a book. Go figure, says Nicola Nicuffy on Twitter. Michael Duffy, to quote a neighbour, in order to be totally confused, you have to be fully informed. Maureen says, I totally agree with that man. By way of contrast, how does that man expect to get his message across and indeed sell his book? If people do not listen to radio and other media, that's from Doreen. Fascinating chat on SOR about the nature of news coverage, says Gareth O'Connor, a former colleague, I think. The man is right. A lot of what we're shown is simply not news. We're drowning in so-called news. I hit the off button more often now, says Jim and Luke. And not yet, Jim, hold off. He must have no curiosity, the reaction of another listener. And so it goes. Sean, your guest, is suggesting we become selfish citizens. Reading the news with focus surely is what we should all be doing as responsible citizens, says Anna. And then we got a text in as well from somebody who I think asks the killer question or makes the killer point. What about sports news? How would he know the result? He's talking rubbish. Well, let's just say that's what the man says. He's talking at something a little more earthy. Anyway, Louise Reynolds is with me of the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute. In other words, you're a dietitian, Louise.
That's
now,
right.
We've been hearing a lot about so-called clean eating. It's gained popularity in recent years, part of many people's health regimes. But in some cases, people take this practice a little too far, and experts, maybe like yourself, saying they might need help. And there's this eating disorder, and I'm not sure it's officially recognised, but it's been in the air for several years now, orthorexia.
Yes, that's right.
Orthorexia.
That might be
like a posh version of the way Kerry people pronounce the name Arthur. Ortho.
Well,
orthorexia.
The root of the word, if you think of the word orthodox, the root of the word actually ortho meaning correct or proper, and rexia meaning appetite. So people are familiar with anorexia, which is an absence of appetite. And orthorexia means, it literally means correct appetite or correct eating.
No, when you're with us, you're normally telling us we should eat more meat, more veg, but in some cases it can be taken too far.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we do talk about balanced eating and healthy eating and making healthier choices. And I've been in this studio many times, Sean, encouraging people to make simple changes, you know, going for healthier practices, whether that's with terms of their lifestyle or their diet. But orthorexia is really when that is taken a step too far, or even a number of steps too far. So really what orthorexia is an obsession with healthy eating, which comes to the point of, you know, taking over someone's life. They're avoiding so many foods that actually, instead of their diet being healthy, their diet is becoming really unhealthy and very restrictive. So it's not about quantity of food, it's about quality, quality
and
of the
does
food.
Does it begin with the idea of getting away from, say, processed foods?
Yes, it can very easily. And there's a lot of scaremongering around food and nutrition at the moment. And we've spoken about this before. You know, 1 month it can be, oh my God, carbs are the devil, you know, don't eat any carbs. And then the next time it's, we all have to avoid meat to have any chance at having a healthy diet. Or the next time it could be, you know, dairy foods need to be avoided.
Or calories
generally, exactly. So, you know, there are all of these. If you buy into, you know, these fads, which is very easy to do, and particularly now that we're living in such a visual world with Instagram and social media.
People are chasing
an ideal.
Yeah, they're chasing the perfect diet.
They are, absolutely. And they're probably chasing, you know, at first it might be the perfect body, or they're looking at somebody, they're following someone online. Again, Instagram is really the audience, or the kind of, you know, 18 to 30 year olds, where so many people are on Instagram a lot of the day. They're looking at people who they don't know, and these people, they don't know anything about their life. They look at them, they like the look of them, maybe like the clothes they're wearing, their lifestyle. And then, of course, these people are telling them what they're eating. But we don't actually know what, you know, are they eating what they say they're eating? They might be showing you a beautifully prepared meal, but actually, are they eating that? And in fact, when you look from a nutritional point of view, a lot of these diets can be very restrictive. And we have now recently, a number of Instagrammers have been exposed for example, putting up posts of products that they don't use themselves, and have actually said, to hidden cameras. Oh no, sure I don't. I just take the money and I put up a post and I get my €10,000. So they're paid, Instagram influencers would be paid for an advertising spot based on the number of followers. So you have all of these people maybe getting their health and nutrition information from very dubious sources.
And I suppose for a lot of people who run the risk, if you like, of ending up with orthorexia, there would be certain foods like hamburgers or chocolate bars that would regard them as completely off limits.
Off the menu, absolutely. So this idea of clean eating, and again, that's a relatively new term. It's one that dietitians don't like. I myself don't like the idea of clean eating because, again, the implication is then that if you veer off that in some way, you're dirty. You know, you're eating foods that are unclean in some way.
But I have to tell you, Louise, I mean, I was going so well until yesterday and I ate a bar of chocolate and I was left with feelings of anxiety and low self-worth.
I don't believe it for a minute. But that's the balance that we always talk about here. You know, we all enjoy a bar of chocolate. We've all come out of Christmas and yes, perhaps people are thinking, okay, I really enjoyed all the Christmas foods on offer and now I'm going to turn over a new leaf and maybe make small changes. But if you are, you know, making drastic changes and if you are vulnerable, now I did look at a study there recently in America. They looked in a university and they did a study of 300 students in the university and the symptoms of orthorexia were found in about 30 of those. So we're talking about 1%.
And what are the symptoms?
So the symptoms would be, you know, maybe it's quite difficult. It's not, you know, very strictly diagnosed, but dietitians and doctors would say it would be a presence of a very strict and rigidly followed diet, a feeling of superiority. You know, so people will tell you about it. They'll tell you that they're clean eating. It's not something that they're hiding because they feel, oh, well, no, I don't eat that because, you know, I'm following a particular diet, or it might start off as, you know, being very virtuous about it, but in fact they begin to lose weight, they can feel very unwell, their immune system is going to be affected, so in fact they're becoming malnourished, but all of this effort to be almost superior and very virtuous around their diet. What happens then is there usually is social isolation, because there's kind of a few places, or not many places you can go with friends and family if you've got this very restrictive eating habit, attaching more importance to the nutritional value of food rather than the enjoyment of food. So, you know, it really is that the food becomes central in their lives.
And does it follow that they would be maybe underweight?
Yes, it would. Generally in this case, so other eating or other kind of disordered eating, somebody might be a normal weight. If somebody, for example, is suffering from bulimia, it might be more difficult to spot because they might have a normal weight. But in this case, generally somebody would be very thin or would be maintaining this very thin physique because their diet is very restrictive. Mm-hmm. So they're not, you know, enjoying food in a normal way. They might even be skipping meals or having meals that are Instagram worthy that they can take photographs and so on and show these meals. And in fact, a number of Instagram influencers now in the last kind of year or so are coming out and admitting that, look, I have taken things too far. And they are telling their followers, you know, look, I really got so caught up in this that I had to be the perfect person and I had to have this perfect diet that in fact I became quite unwell. So they are now coming out and saying, look, you need to actually, you know, go and see someone, a registered dietitian, talk to your doctor if you feel you have concerns.
But there would be people listening to us who would be perfectly healthy and happy, vegans or vegetarians.
Yes,
vegetarians. Now, arguably, veganism would fall exactly into this category.
Well, it would if somebody, I mean, plenty of vegans choose a vegan lifestyle because they have, you know, for animal rights issues. Now for environmental concerns, people are looking into that a little bit more and saying maybe certain aspects of a vegan diet may be more environmentally sustainable. So there are reasons, absolutely valid reasons. However, now that it's become almost, you know, with Veganuary and people kind of jumping on board in January, it can be for somebody who is, you know, has orthorexic tendencies, it can almost be a front. They'll start off by becoming vegan. And then they'll become quite virtuous about that and love telling everyone about that. But then their diet becomes more and more restrictive. And then fear and guilt creeps in as well, which is the concern.
Is it linked to perfectionism or obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD?
Yes, it may be. And there are, you know, within the diagnosis of ARFID, which is avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, is quite a big term, but it talks about, you know, a number of people have different issues around food, which they may need to get some treatment for. So it does fall within that. And the type of personality would often be somebody who is kind of what we would call a type A personality, quite a perfectionist, and somebody who wants to do things really, really well. So if they read about eating healthily, they'll think, well, I'm not going to just kind of dabble in this healthy eating lark. I'm going to do this really, really well, you know, and take it to the nth degree.
You dread the notion of inviting somebody like that to dinner in your house or going out to socialise with them.
I know. Well, that's it. You know, it's, you know, you kind of feel, I often joke and say, if you're vegan, don't come to my house for dinner because I wouldn't even begin to be able to cater for you because I've, you know, don't have those foods to hand. But it can become, yes, it can definitely become quite socially isolating.
Why isn't it regarded or why hasn't it achieved the status of being a clinically diagnosable condition?
Well, I think the American Psychiatric Association, they have very strict criteria. And so anorexia nervosa is a clinically diagnosed condition, bulimia. But people who are suffering, who are dealing with patients with eating disorders are now highlighting that this is appearing a little bit more. So the aim initially is not to lose weight. Whereas when somebody is suffering from anorexia nervosa, it generally starts with a weight loss and then maybe they get into a cycle where that becomes more and more of a goal and then they, you know, it becomes overpoweringly the main aim and their diet becomes very restrictive and they lose weight and get very, very ill, as we know. But this, it starts off with kind of something which is quite, they're quite proud of. You know, that I'm just going to eat healthily, mm-hmm. I'm clean eating, I'm, you know, going to turn over a new leaf, but it becomes very, very restrictive and can actually be, you know, the person themselves can feel really quite anxious around it. And again, I think with the growth of Instagram, there's a lot of studies now have said that it has not only Instagram, but any of these visual social medias where we now have an insight into so many people's lives, but only a snapshot of their life. So really, you know, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Even the other day, I saw one of the Kardashians received a lot of backlash because she advertised a slimming product.
Yeah, it's a wonderful title. Go on.
Yeah, it's the tummy shake.
The flat tummy shake.
The flat tummy shake,
I mean,
exactly.
Who wouldn't want that?
So, you know, she's standing there in her bikini or in her gym gear showing this flat tummy, holding up the flat tummy shake, you know, and being
to
paid...
how many million listeners?
103 million followers.
Wow.
103 million followers. So, you know, and a lot of those are young girls and boys, you know, teenagers in their 20s, and they would be holding her up as someone that they aspire to because she has the lifestyle, she has the wealth, she has this, you know,
and
seemingly
the flat tummy.
And the flat tummy to go with it. So again, while she did receive a large backlash, it is concerning and I think people need to be aware of it and people need to kind of stop and say, hang on a minute, I don't have to be healthy, I don't have to cut out everything in my diet. It's all about balance, Sean. And I think that if somebody is concerned about a friend or a family member, do go along to the GP, have a chat. You know, Bodywise is a good organisation you can ring. Registered dietitians working in this area. I know in Aveen Bannon, who is well known here in RTE, runs a clinic and she would see a lot of patients who would suffer from various types of eating disorders at the Dublin Nutrition Centre. So, you know, go make sure that you're getting your nutrition and advice
so
from a recognised
person.
Ignore
the flat tummy shake. We'll go stick with the hippie shake. Okay. Well, look, thank you so much indeed for coming
Thank
in. That's
you,
Louise Reynolds, a dietitian with the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute. We'll be talking to Evelyn about A Day in the Family Courts after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.